Hey, thanks for joining us on the Hill. You are listening to the Aaron Keck Show. That would be me. We've got Gene Boldick here in the studio, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time. Or Thing Not a Thing, the game in which Gene and I take a look at everything that has people upset on social media this week, and we decide, is it a thing or is it not actually a thing? I'm excited about this.
I'm excited too.
All right.
Sometimes not in a good way. But,
yeah.
You know,
well, we're talking about things that have people upset. It's never in a good way. But
right.
Sometimes we can put people at ease and say, you know, that thing that you're upset about, not really a thing.
Don't really worry about
that.
Don't worry about that.
Although we've been doing that less and less in the past few months.
That's true.
We may need to start ramping that up again.
So I guess my approach this week is things that should be a thing. I don't know that people are necessarily quite as upset about my first thing that should be a thing as maybe they should be. But, you know, talking about smells that is a worse smell and all that.
Right.
Oh, my goodness, this raw sewage spilling out into streams and tributaries in Raleigh this week.
Mm-hmm.
That should definitely be a pretty big thing. And part of the reason is none of this happened as a result of these hurricanes.
Yes.
Of Hurricane Michael or Florence. They happened because of that utterly unsexy topic of infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Raleigh's pipes aging and not being replaced and maintained, and millions of gallons of water spilling into nasty, nasty stuff that we don't want anywhere near a fresh water supply.
Yeah.
And where is the money coming? It's always this question. Where is the money coming from to fix this, repair it, upgrade it? And, you know, why aren't people turning themselves inside out? Being upset about this.
I mean, talking about infrastructure, I mean, that's the story the NNO's got today about the sewage spill in Raleigh. Very much a similar issue happening in Chapel Hill Carrboro not too long ago when you have an 80-year-old pipe that decides to break.
Because today's the day.
That's what 80-year-old pipes sometimes do. I mean, OWASA's still investigating and we'll get a final decision, but on a certain level, when an 80-year-old pipe fails and there's a major water main break and all of a sudden you have to boil the water for 24 straight hours and it's because we've been relying on these 80-year-old pipes, that's not a huge surprise. And this is it's not just a Chapel Hill thing, it's not just a Raleigh thing, this is a nationwide thing where we're relying on an infrastructure that's increasingly old and outdated and obsolete and prone to break, and we're not doing anything about it because like you said, it's not sexy.
And then you look at it really the angle of the story should be, in my opinion. So it's an 80-year-old pipe.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell did you think was going to happen?
Right.
I mean, human beings don't last that long.
I
know that some pipes,
Often last beyond 80 years, but when it's 80 years old and it starts to break, then it's not a huge surprise.
Then you're surprised. What is the useful life expected to be of a pipe that is relied on and sees that much use? I can guarantee you it's not 80 years.
I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't think if you installed that pipe today, that whoever makes the pipe is going to say, come back in 80 years, it's going to look just like this.
Well, that's because things don't get made the way they used to back in the day.
Back in the day. That's right, when they used lead paint and asbestos and so forth. But, I mean, as for people, no, the life expectancy of a human being is not 80. So, you know, when people live to be 80, they're overperforming.
Mm-hmm.
We have to look at.
Weren't we supposed to be bringing the conversation up for this week's?
This thing about about constantly cutting taxes and constantly starving the government out of revenue results in this. This is exactly what comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you cut the government spending to the point where Mitch McConnell gets to go out with a straight face and say, well, geez, we're just going to have to look at Medicare and Social Security because, oh, man, where's the money going to come from? Well, you know, when you've starved the budget out of money for so many years in so many ways, and, of course, he would like everybody to just forget that those programs aren't funded by annual appropriations.
Of course.
And he gets to do that manipulation because of how the public doesn't understand how the budget works. We just get used to this dialogue of saying when something breaks that's going to require a gigantic public investment, that the Republicans are going to say, what are we going to do? We're broke.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats are going to say, get a hold of yourself. We can raise taxes. We got a lot. There's revenue that's left on the table out there.
Yeah.
Stop cutting taxes of rich people. The money's out there. Let's go get it.
Yeah.
And, you know, a similar approach, it seems to me, exists in yet another story, which is about tuition at UNC and about fees that are being discussed for students. For students to cover the cost of taking care of buildings. Mm-hmm. And here's my quote of the day from the chancellor. This is not her best moment in producing a quote for a story. She says, and this is a direct quote, you get to a point when old buildings are getting pretty old. So we're trying to deal with that. Really? Seriously?
It's not wrong.
It's not inaccurate. But it is not a visionary statement, Aaron. And, you know, in looking at that and in discussing all of this in Jane Stansel's, once again, wonderful story about this, one of the things that comes into play is, well, you know, here's what tuition is, here's what books are, here's what housing is. You know, if you go to school, if you're a freshman at Carolina right now, this year, you're going to expect to spend about $23,000 plus or minus a buck per year to go to UNC.
Yeah.
Now, that means...
Is that in-state?
That's in-state, right? Tuition.
Out-of-state tuition is way higher. Tuition and fees and everything, yeah.
So here's my question. If you are graduating high school in the spring and then you want to go to Carolina next fall to become a school teacher, should you not have your head examined to plan on spending almost $100,000 to go to college so that you can become an elementary school teacher where it's going to take you 20 years to pay all that back?
If you're lucky.
If you get a good rate. And so forth. You know, that's a great big, to me, that's the elephant in the room. That's an outrageous disconnect. And I thought that you're an expert in this. I thought that North Carolina's Constitution provided some guarantee about affordability and going to school in the UNC system.
Yeah.
When did that disappear?
It hasn't yet. It's just that decision hasn't been implemented. They've been dragging their heels on it for 20 plus years.
Their tar heels.
Yeah, there you go. So it's several factors at once, and it's the same with all of these.
Right.
With infrastructure, it's a combination
we are
constantly cutting taxes to the point where we can no longer pay for infrastructure, and politicians don't have the will to generate the revenue to pay for the infrastructure that we need, combined with the fact that, and we kind of see this in the national election cycle, politicians are, and I don't think this is anything new, politicians are incentivized to talk about sexy hot button issues that will drive their base out to the polls and vote, and infrastructure is just not one of them. Same thing with
until a bridge collapses,
and hopefully it does that a week before the election, because that's about as long as our attention span
is
when it comes
to
when it comes to infrastructure. And I mean, infrastructure is the one thing that Donald Trump keeps threatening to talk about, that I would actually be on board with what he has to say, maybe, but he can't get through a sentence on infrastructure without veering off onto his pet issues, because he doesn't really care about infrastructure. He just keeps saying he's going to talk about it.
He talked about an infrastructure bill, but then it turned out that what he wanted to get passed was something that would privatize a lot of
the whole thing.
Well, that's just not going to happen.
And isn't going to be successful if it does. But at least if he can give a speech on infrastructure where he presents a plan and gets people talking about the issue, that would be a step in the right direction. But
I'll tell you who did that the day after the election is one Nancy Pelosi, who said, you know, listen, the Democrats had a platform. It was focused primarily on health care.
Mm-hmm.
But we right now need to pass an infrastructure bill, a real one,
mm-hmm.
to do infrastructure across the country. The federal government needs to be the anchor for this. And these are jobs that cannot be outsourced.
Yeah.
And this is a great economic stimulus that provides some very serious job development stability. And we're gonna bring a bill. We're gonna offer it, and it's gonna get passed in the House.
Yeah.
And you know, when Nancy Pelosi says we're gonna pass that, I believe her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll let Mitch McConnell sit on his hands while his president is saying, "I want a bill. I want to sign a bill."
Yeah.
So
So that's the thing with infrastructure and with higher education. It's several factors, too. It's the fact that costs are getting more and more and more passed on to students who are already having a difficult time affording it. The cost of higher education is skyrocketing for mm-hmm. several reasons, one of which is this administration bloat that has been a developing issue for decades now.
Right.
And all of this is happening at a time when there's increasing economic pressure on schools to cut their educational costs even further.
Right.
So now you've got fewer and fewer tenure track positions. Teaching in a college is no longer a viable profession to get into the way that it might have been 20 or 40 years ago.
That's right.
And all of those things are happening simultaneously.
And you have in the Board of Governors for the UNC system, you know, an absolute refusal to make major investments.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here you have in our flagship university, the oldest in the country, State University, a refusal to invest in keeping the buildings viable and safe for the students and the faculty.
Yeah.
I think this is the most basic thing in the world.
But I mean, we're seeing this at the K-12 level too.
Absolutely.
Orange County's two school districts, and this is in a county where, say what you will about Orange County, I don't think you can say that we don't care about the schools and public education. This is a community that cares about public education and is willing to support it financially. We're still looking at, are we still at $400 million in terms of an infrastructure shortfall
in terms of what needs to be spent
on repair and maintenance for the two school systems?
That's Orange County. Yeah.
That's Orange County, which cares about the schools.
That's right. Forget
the counties that don't.
Yeah. So, I mean, think about
how don't have the resources.
We're happy to tax ourselves to have a quality school system. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to these literal physical structural issues, the state has to help.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to wrap. Who's on the water cooler this
Penny
weekend?
Well, Penny Rich is on doing a little breakdown about the elections, which is great. She's been on our show a lot. She's been very generous with her time recently, and she'll be on Thanksgiving weekend too with her mom and Dolores Bailey. And so we've had a great conversation, and we've got a lot to talk about. But she's man, she's into everything in the politics, I have to say. I don't know when she sleeps. I'm not sure she sleeps at all.
Okay, next time, we don't have time to do this today, but next time when you're on, we need to talk about 2020 and who the Democratic candidate should and should not be.
Yes. Our recommendations.
I've got strong ideas.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
I bet you do.
I've got strong yeses and strong noes.
And we're gonna be keeping track of that throughout December, because we're going to start seeing announcements.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Weekend water cooler, 1 p.m. and 8 p.m. on Sundays, 4 a.m. on Saturday mornings if you're up that late. Check out the archive on our website, chapelboro.com. Go to the WCHL On Demand page for that. Gene Boldick, thank you so much.
Thank you.